Rani Marie, Orang in the Tui Hone, O Papa Tunuku Takatone, O Tetayoe Afine Iatato, Tihe Maori Ora. This is the Green Desk on 95 BFM.
It is indeed the Green Desk. This week on The Green Desk, Mangrove Mitch teams up with Sherry Zhang and the two share a moment talking to Hexacycle's founder and maggot wrangler-in-chief, Neil Burrell. Hexacycle focuses on sustainable solutions to animal feed, using the maggots of the black soldier fly to close the loop on our existing and linear waste cycles. They discuss the pioneering process, how it came about, and discuss the potential role that insects could play in our future for both animal feed and human consumption. To begin, Sherry asked Neil to provide a bit of context about Hexacycle.
So Hexacycle, I started in 2016 when I went through the summer lab at the University Business School. And basically what it does is we take organic waste, feed it to the larvae of a species of insect called the black soldier fly. And these larvae, they start eating this waste. And as they do, they grow. And to grow, they pack on protein and fat. And this protein and fat, we then basically take the larvae, harvest them, and feed it to other animals as a sustainable form of protein. And so we've started a pilot plant over in India at the moment with a poultry farm over there called Abhilash Hatcheries.
Where you get the larvae in India and then you're feeding it to the chicken farm in India as well.
That's right,
so
yeah.
Is there hopes to bring it to New Zealand?
Yeah, so we've been starting stuff here as well. The problem is it's a tropical species of fly that's found in New Zealand, but it only grows for a very short period of time in this country. So you need to grow it in sort of special climate controlled rooms for the adult stage. The larvae can survive at sort of lower temperature and they produce quite a bit of heat as they're feeding. So what we're working on here is creating a climate controlled room where you can grow the flies without sort of natural daylight, which is sort of an important thing normally. So we're using artificial lights to try and stimulate them to reproduce. They need mood lighting basically.
Yeah. In comparison to like my experience when I look into things like soy feed and things like that, what is the sort of like scale and size you need for a plant to produce a substantial thing, like in comparison to like how they're doing in the Amazon or something?
Yeah, sure. So if you look at some of the companies overseas, they're using black soldier fly. They're taking in around 100 tons of organic waste in their pilot facilities per day. In their 100 tons of organic waste, they'll get out around 20 tons of larvae per day. So it's a lot of maggots, really.
Currently in New Zealand, we don't have a large-scale industrial compost system. Mm. So is this a way to fix that problem?
Yeah, it could potentially be something that complements composting as well. So there's a couple of composting companies that are doing stuff. So there's, I think, Tuakau down in south, and they're using windrow composting. And with black soldier fly, you feed them stuff like organic waste, so food scraps. They can eat meat and cheese and all the kind of stuff that you wouldn't normally want to put into compost. And that's good because it reduces odor. So it's not competing with compost, because there's still plenty of other stuff that can go to compost that black soldier fly can't do, but it sort of complements a toolbox that can be used to manage organic waste.
I guess I'm wondering, what's the current system now in terms of the feed that gets fed, what gets fed to animals and farms? So is it sustainable at the moment?
Yeah, so a lot of it's imported soy meal, which comes from overseas, obviously. We do grow some soybeans in New Zealand, but it's mainly for human consumption. And so soybean meal, it can be grown sustainably, but often it can cause land use change. So if you think of places like South America, it can be conversion of rainforest into farming fields, and it's quite water intensive as well. There's also another issue with soy meal in that the price fluctuates quite a bit, and that can be based on sort of external demand. So whether, say, another country wants to buy a lot of soy meal that year, they'll drive the price up, or there might be floods in a certain growing area, and that will cause fluctuations in price, which affects farmers as well.
So what are the benefits of, I guess, using maggots instead then?
Yeah, so using maggots, you're using a lot less land area, and you're feeding them something that would end up going to either landfill or being put into, say, an anaerobic digester. So it's a way of sort of closing the loop on the food cycle. So instead of it going into a hole, it goes back into the food production system.
This is crazy. I love it. So what's your opinion on insects and other, like, obviously larvae is feeding our food. What about just insects as food in general? Is that something that you are passionate about, or like you enjoy?
Yeah, it's something I'm really interested in. So I recently returned from Japan at the beginning of this year, and I met with a researcher over there, and he was just pulling out boxes of frozen insects, and I got to try around 20 different kinds of insects whilst I was there, including sort of a giant Japanese hornet, which are like with a stinger and all, which is very chewy and quite brawny. So I don't even know what the taste of brawn is, but we'll call it brawny. But it is my sort of PhD is focused now on insects for human consumption, and so what I want to look at is primarily hoohoo beetles within New Zealand, and looking at their basic biology to, so if people decide to then grow them or farm them in the future, there's sort of a foundation of knowledge for them to build off of.
I think I've looked into crickets before, but the kind of ratio of protein to size is quite significant, hey? Like it'd be quite a rich source of protein.
Absolutely, yeah. And you can consume the whole animal whilst, save for a cow, you've left over with quite a few bits, which I guess do go into your jelly sweets and things like that. But yeah, you can eat the whole insect, which is good. Yeah.
Do you think, I guess, will there be a future in terms of, I guess, humans eating insects? Will we get over that ick factor? Because that's a thing on everyone's mind, you know?
Yeah, like, absolutely. A bit like Snowpiercer, where they find out those jelly cubes are all cockroaches and stuff, you know? But no, I think there's sort of, people will try it, and there's a lot of people doing studies on disgust and why people find it disgusting. But it's sort of important to note, one, this is something that humans have been consuming for a long period of time, and it's just something that's relatively new in particularly Western culture that people find it disgusting. And two, I've just forgotten what two was. It was really important as well. But yeah, going back to, it's something that a lot of people have eaten over many years, and what people find is that if you try an insect, you're more open to trying it again in the future, which is quite cool. So a lot of people will try them usually as like a gimmick, or you know, you might find like a lollipop with some ants in or something like that. And if you've tried that once, you get over your kind of disgust, and later on you may be more open to trying a new thing.
What are the benefits of eating insects?
They're really high in protein. They also have quite a wider range of different nutrients within them. Some people are starting to look into them for antimicrobial properties as well, and also relative health benefits. So there's a lot of work going on in Korea and China at the moment looking at those. It's also, there's some environmental impacts as well, and it's often sort of said, oh, you know, these are really environmentally friendly, but it's important to note it depends on how you're growing them in the first place. So if you're growing a species that's outside of its home range, it might become quite energy intensive, which can drive up sort of greenhouse gases depending on where the power's coming from. So it all depends on context, on where you're getting the insects from.
Just going back to Hexacycle, what are we looking at in terms of bringing it to New Zealand? You obviously want to do that. What's the sort of time frame there? Like, when can we expect to see it in a few years? Kind of kicking off?
Absolutely, yeah. So we've got quite a lot of interest at the moment, and we're basically finished our mating room, which I've built at my house, so sort of hidden around the back. It's got LED lights in and stuff, so if the neighbors ask, I'll just tell them I'm growing tomatoes or something. But it's at the moment it's got flies in it, and so we're trying to close that part of the life cycle. And once we've got that done, we've got designs to start producing about shipping container size pilot module, and we just want to start processing waste from some local suppliers, and then test a few assumptions. But yeah, we should be going soon, hopefully.
What's it like doing what's never been done here? What's it like facing that sort of?
Oh, it's terrifying, but it's fun as well, because you set a bit of a path to go forward. The other thing is you find amazing, really supportive people. So for instance, people at the business school here and in the science faculty have been really helpful in getting this sorted. Same over at Auckland Council as well. So we've got some funding from them, a small grant. And yeah, there's a lot of people out there to help you. So it's terrifying, but everyone kind of wants to see cool things happen. So
it's such an exciting project. So yeah. I'm just wondering, what are the next steps, I guess?
Yeah.
What are you hoping to achieve with this project?
Yeah, so with Hexacycle, I'd love to sort of get it set up and the technology going, so that then we can just get people set up with these plants around New Zealand and potentially other places in the world, particularly focusing on sort of ones for smaller communities that don't require huge capital costs of like building a big facility to do that. And yeah, if we can do that, then we can stop a lot of organic waste going to landfill, which will be the sort of the end goal.
Ideal.
Yeah.
Are there any environmental concerns that might be negative from mega farming?
Yeah, I guess some of the things you'd need to be careful with is, as they're consuming, organic waste is primarily water, but they'll have some leachate in it, so it'll be high in nitrogen. So just ensuring that's managed appropriately would be an important thing. A lot of people might be concerned about sort of maggots escaping and swarms of flies descending on the town kind of thing, but everything's kept contained, which is the main thing. So if things are escaping, it'd be like a chicken farmer letting his chickens run off, next door kind of thing. Yeah, the other thing is with the adult flies, they only live for 4 days, so they're very short-lived and their one purpose is just to reproduce and go off, and they don't do too well in winter in New Zealand either.
How did this idea all come about, I guess?
Yeah,
because it's... I think it's really cool and really amazing. But yeah, what made you think of maggot farming as like the way forward?
So my supervisor, I took a paper, Greg Holwell's my supervisor, and I was taking a paper in undergraduate level and called Pure and Applied Entomology. And he's had a paper on insects as food, as a food source for a growing population. It was back in probably 2013, I think. And that just kind of got sitting in my mind. And then I went and worked for council, and I sort of really wanted to go back to university and complete my postgraduate studies. But I also wanted to start my own business kind of thing. So I still had this idea sitting in the back of my head, and I started looking at ways that we could put insects into the feed system rather than food. And by doing that, I sort of searched around and found out people were growing black soldier flies overseas and no one was doing it here. And I thought, oh, we could give that a go. So I signed up for the summer lab at the business school, and they sort of got me on the road.
Yeah.
We got to go through Velocity and won the social innovation category there. So yeah, it was real cool. It gave me a little bit to build my maggot hut at home. So
Cool. What's the history behind using insects as feed in agriculture? Is that something that's quite common, or is it?
It's pretty new. And so if we look overseas, the US, Canada and the EU, their legislation has had to be changed to allow insects to be used as a feed. So that's just started to happen recently, and that's why there's been a lot of investment in companies over there for that. So it's not something that we've used a lot of, I guess, although I suppose if you think of fishermen and stuff, they put insects on their hooks for a long time, worms and things like that. Yeah.
are there any concerns in terms of feeding insects to animals? Is there anything we need to be worried about, or?
Yeah, it's still fairly early on, but what you have to do is do microbiological assays of the insects to look at if there are any diseases or parasites that might be transmitted. So particularly in like the EU, there are very strict regulations on that, and safety has had to be shown to be able to feed them to animals. So I think that's fine, but what people do need to be careful of is the waste that they're feeding to the insects to then go to the human food chain. If you're feeding them something like, say, cow brains or lamb brains, something like that, for instance, there's been no studies on prions that cause mad cow disease, things like that. So I think you've just got to be very sensible and careful over your waste selection going in, and then have good quality assurance both at the start and the finish of the process to make sure it's safe for human consumption.
Yeah. I guess what you would feed to maggots during maggot farming would be vegetables?
Vegetables is good, breads, dairy products, things like that, but avoiding, say, slaughterhouse waste. Yeah.
Sure. Do you have any other questions, Mitch?
I'm good, this has been so insightful.
Just excited. Was there anything else you wanted to add, or things that you've been wondering about, or questions in your mind?
I've got lots of questions in my mind, but yeah, some of the things I'm looking at with my PhD are around the hoo-hoo beetles' reproductive behaviour, so seeing how the adults mate and so forth, and then being able to try and replicate that in the lab. So at the moment, I'm just waiting for the hoo-hoo beetle adult season to begin again. So I'll be going out west to try and find some of those guys soon. But if anyone sees any in the meantime, just get in touch and let me know.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihei Mauri Ora.